Hello, ladies. Are you struggling with hair loss? I want you to know you're not alone. Hi, I'm Bambi Staveley, former registered nurse, author, founder of Boost and Blend, and someone who probably just like you has had first-hand experience with hair loss, which is all covered in my latest book, Hair Loss in Women. When I noticed my own hair thinning 15 years ago, I went looking for information and I went looking for products for women, just like you and me. But all I could find out there was products made for men. And most of the information I could find was about male pattern baldness. Well, that's not much help. So I set out to change that. I want to see women with hair loss talking about it and talking to each other, sharing their stories from a place of knowledge. So join me as I meet some courageous women. I'll share some information and we'll learn together on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. Hi there. It's nice to have you here for another episode of the Hair Loss in Women podcast. As you probably know by now, I'm Bambi Staveley, and today we're talking about hair loss after an illness. It can be a big problem, and including after COVID-19, actually. But the good news is that if you are going through hair loss following an illness right now, it will, not always, but mostly, it will grow back. And I'll explain a bit more about why that is throughout this episode. And of course, as in all of these episodes, the advice that I give is of a general nature. So please check in with your doctor for specific health advice. But speaking of hair loss and illness, today's interview is with a woman who experienced just that. Candace had no history of hair loss before she became very unwell in 2022. And not long after that bout of illness that she had, she started to lose her hair at an alarming rate. There is some good news in this story though, so I hope you enjoy this conversation I had with Candace. Candace, hi, and welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It's really very generous of you to give up your time to help other women, really.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, your story is actually quite a dramatic one, I think. So maybe we could start at the beginning and tell us how this all began, how your story actually started.
Yeah, so it started off in September of 2022. I ended up getting really sick. For about 2.5 days, I stayed at home with high fevers and just thought that I was sick with the flu or gastro. Didn't really think anything of it. I even went to the doctor because I couldn't, like, I was really, really sick. And my head actually hurt to touch, like my scalp, even to lie down on my pillow. It was really sore. And he didn't think much of it, really. He gave me some painkillers and sent me home. And so I went home that night and just suffered. And I could just see my, like a line going down my forehead, slowly moving down and down. And I called my dad in Canada. I woke up, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning in Australia. And I FaceTimed with my dad and he got really worried and begged me to go to emergency. I had also looked at Google, Dr. Google, and I thought maybe I had shingles or something. And that if the infection went to my eyes, that I would go blind. So that scared me enough to drive myself to emergency. It took a while to get admitted, like hours, and they just couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. They were thinking that I was having a reaction to Botox, but I hadn't had Botox in 4 months, and right. I've had Botox many times. So to me, that seemed ridiculous. And then I ended up in the hospital for 5 days. It was sepsis. So what they think happened was that I got cellulitis on my scalp. I have psoriasis. So I'm not sure if I had nicked my scalp, like scratched it, and then caused like an infection with bacteria turned cellulitis, and then left untreated turned septic, which mm-hmm. I think is quite common. So I ended up being in the hospital for like 5 days. Wow. And then when I got out, everything was fine. But then in December, my hair started falling out.
Okay, so that was September.
Yeah.
When this all happened and you were in hospital. And sepsis mm-hmm. is actually a very serious and potentially life-threatening illness, actually. So your body was obviously going through something pretty horrendous back then in September. You know, you were very sick. So, yep, so then September, then in December. So what happened in December?
In December, I didn't even notice really until I went camping. And because I was in a car for a day traveling and then in a swag, like a small, what you're sleeping in, I just noticed that my hair was everywhere. And then I started running my fingers through my hair and just it was coming out a lot at an alarming rate to me anyways, because I don't have that much hair to begin with. I've always had really fine hair. So when I got back home, then I looked in the mirror and could just see like how much density I had lost, whether or not it had, like, I don't know how long it had been happening for, but it was, yeah, it was pretty confronting. Yeah, immediately I just started Googling, why am I losing my hair? Like, what's going on? And I came across, I think, telogen effluvium.
Which we call TE, so we don't have to say telogen effluvium all the time. But yes, so that was TE for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I was convinced that's what it was, but I wanted to know, like I wanted to go to the doctor and see what they said. So I went back to my doctor and explained, like, hysterical because I had lost so much hair. And it was right before Christmas. It was just, yeah, hysterical, and was like, I think this is what it is. And he suggested that we run some blood work just to make sure that it wasn't thyroid or iron deficiency or, yeah. So we ended up taking the blood and it came back actually that my iron levels were critically low. So my ferritin was less than 4 or 5. Wow. Like, it was crazy low. And the next day I got an iron infusion.
Actually, that's really sort of quite a classic case of you had something that shocked your body, and then lots of people have things that shock their body, but they don't lose their hair. But of course, because you had an underlying cause, you had something else going on, which was the low iron. And that's why for you being sick caused the severe hair loss that you had. Mm-hmm. Perhaps if your iron had been totally fine, you wouldn't have had the hair loss following the sepsis. So, okay, so you had an iron infusion, which was obviously needed. I mean, my ferritin's been 8. That's the lowest I've ever been and had hair loss at the time. So 4 is pretty pretty severe. So what happened from there?
I actually went out and bought a hair topper to get me through because I couldn't, like, you never realize how vain you are until, you know, for me anyways, until you don't have your hair, you go something through like that. And it's, I hate to say it because I know it's not the end of the world and so many other women have it much worse. But for me, it was, it was really confronting. So I went in to a wig shop and this lovely lady fitted me for a hair topper. Mm-hmm. And I wore that for basically like 8-9 months, almost every day, except for at work when I felt comfortable around my coworkers or that I just started to get enough. I got the shadowing stuff and the fiber, the boost and blend stuff actually to like cover in and just make it look a little bit fuller. And everyone did their best to reassure me that they couldn't even tell. But when I look at photos, it's very apparent.
Yeah. So tell me, just on the topper, how did you feel wearing a topper? Did it give you that confidence that you needed, or did you feel, or how did you feel?
It I loved my topper. It did everything for my self-esteem. In fact, it was better than my real hair. Like, I've never had a big, thick, luscious ponytail or, like, you know, the hair that you can flick around. So it was good like that. But I'm a single woman and, you know, dating and, you know, meeting new people and then having to explain to them that you're wearing a topper or a wig. That was a bit confronting, and it was really hard. Like, I feel like that it affected my self-esteem when it came down to that, because, you know, you can't swim with them, you can't sleep with them. I don't know, it was just, it was really awkward for me to have to take off the topper and then be like, oh, this is actually what my hair looks like.
Yeah,
so I think it was good, but also just hard because I wasn't being honest with myself, or I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I think we all have these things about ourselves that other people don't really notice. I mean, I know that people say that they think everybody looks at their hair, but actually, I don't think people do really. I mean, we're very self-conscious of it. I am, you are, and I guess at times we're more self-conscious than at other times. But it is one of those things that we take on board and, you know, we feel all the feelings are ours. There aren't people looking at us going, you know, oh, I can see you're wearing a topper. I mean, you can't really. Toppers are fantastic because they do give you that, you know, so much more hair, bulks it out a lot. So was that easy to put on every morning or was that difficult? I mean, you obviously.
Yeah, no, it was so easy. I've always, because I've got fine hair, I'm like a clip-in extension girl. So I'd always be putting those in to give my hair volume anyways. So
great. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really easy. And nobody, like, you couldn't tell at all. I got a really good quality one. It cost me a lot of money. Well, almost $2,000, which is crazy.
That is a lot.
More than my first car and second. But yeah, for what it did for my self-esteem and just being, because I work in customer service, I see people every day. I did it for myself, for my own mental health.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And so it was perfect color for you?
Yeah, they actually dyed it. So she was able to, she like dyed the roots a little bit to match like my natural and then matched it in with the highlights. And I even went back just at the start of this summer because it had gone a little bit lighter and brassy. So I brought it back to them and they just re-dyed it for me. They looked at the color of my hair now and then just again color matched it and cut a bit of more fringe into it because I wanted more bang.
Okay.
And yeah, they're just so lovely. I'll wear it forever still. Like, oh, I really? Still wear it when I go out, but it's nice to have hair.
Yeah.
And not like I'm hiding something, you know, it's not like now it's like, oh, I just use it because I like the way that my hair looks in it. It's not like hiding this like secret that I felt like I was hiding.
And for those who don't, haven't ever worn a topper, just tell us, how do you have to look after it? What do you have to do to it? You obviously have to wash it.
Yeah. So you wash it. I washed it not that often though, like maybe twice a month. It depends on how much you wear it. And I didn't really have to put any styling products or anything in it because I mostly wore it in a ponytail. And they gave me shampoo with it that I still have. So the shampoo's lasted well over a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. And I bought like a styrofoam head to put it on. And then you just secure it with sewing pins.
Yep.
To make it stay onto the crown of the mannequin head or whatever. And then you can curl it. Like, I would curl it once after I wash it because it would go quite flat. Mm-hmm. So I would curl it, put some hairspray in it, and then, yeah, it would be good until I washed it again the next time. The only time I found that it got gross was when I went to Bali for 8 days. And I feel like the humidity and the, like, I don't know, whatever's in the air there just made it yuck.
Oh, interesting, interesting. And while you had the topper, you were using hair fibers at the same time?
Yeah, when I wasn't wearing the topper, then I would put the hair fibers in to just give it thickness and like volume at the roots and then to fill in, like, you know how you can get, there's like a little squeezy kind of applicator, I guess, that
the little puffer applicator.
So I would use the applicator to do like my hairline Yep. And then I would just sprinkle, because I've got naturally curly hair, so I would just sprinkle the fibers in the roots kind of to fill out the shape, and then it would give me more volume.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I still do every day with
blending hair fibers.
You do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because my hair is still quite thin, so it looks like I never really paid attention to how, like, I always knew my hair was thin, but like I didn't think much of, like, when you go like that and you see your scalp, like that was just has always been my hair.
Yeah, when you pull it back, you can see your scalp. Well, yeah. Actually, it's not too bad. So tell us what happened then. Your hair grew back.
I started taking supplements and then trying to eat more stuff with iron. I wasn't super vigilant on taking the iron pills. I went back every 6 weeks to get my blood tested and just watched my iron fall. I get really bad periods, like terrible. And so I feel like they said that that's probably where the low iron is coming from, that I'm, because iron's the only vitamin that your body doesn't create, it ingests it. And so you can't, like, if I'm losing it and not storing it, then you can't get it back, I guess. So
yeah, yeah. So how long was your hair falling out for before it sort of stopped?
At 6 weeks, I started to see, after the iron infusion, I started to see, like, that I had growth coming in. And that.
Okay, so you weren't pulling hair out for much more than about a couple of weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, I think it was just like one major when I went camping and then was in my friend's car and just was like, oh my God, my hair is everywhere. And like in this little tiny camping swag in there and just having hair everywhere, like getting in my mouth, getting, like, it was just everywhere.
Yes, I remember that feeling as well when it happened to me. And there'd be other people listening in now who would absolutely know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Many of us, not everybody with hair loss, but many of us have gone through that super severe TE that's just quite devastating and alarming, especially when you weren't expecting it, which I wasn't and you no doubt weren't either. And so then it stabilized and your hair started to grow back. So how long did that take? Did you sort of have a moment when you went, ah, oh, okay, it's sort of back. Do you remember having a moment like that?
I think that it was only probably in October, just this October past, that I felt comfortable to not wear the topper really anymore. That I was like, okay, my hair looks normal now, a bit of a mullet, because it did fall out mostly around the top in like crown, but then I had the hair at the back that stayed. And that was the other thing, that everybody at work, when my hair was falling out and I was freaking out, they were like, just cut it all off, Candace, just cut it all off. And I almost took the scissors to my mullet. And when I went to the lady at the wig shop, she just said, thank goodness you didn't, because if you did, you wouldn't have been able to use the topper. So just keep that mullet work with it. And so that's what I've done, is just, I kept the mullet.
Well, actually, I can see, obviously, because it's a podcast, nobody else can see you, but I can see you've got lots of good growth around the front of your, the front and the top of your head now. So it happened in September. You were sick in September 22, and then October 23, you felt like you had sort of recovered. So that's a year. So for people who are going through TE at the moment, that's really, for me, it was 18 months. So for you, it was much quicker than for me. I didn't actually ever have an iron infusion. I just took iron supplements. So perhaps the infusion got your iron levels up faster than mine.
It definitely, yeah, for sure.
So for anyone who's going through TE at the moment, it's important for them to know that it does take a long time for your hair to turn around, for it to stop falling out, and then you've got to super sleuth around and find your underlying cause. Then you've got to fix that, and then your hair needs to start growing again. And all of those processes take time. So, you know, I hear of women saying, oh, well, you know, my hair fell out, you know, a couple of months ago and it hasn't grown back. And I sort of think, well, yeah, it will, if, you know, if it's TE and if you can find your underlying cause. Not everybody has an underlying cause, but usually there's something else going on. And of course, I should just make a quick mention of postpartum hair loss, which is also a TE. So not following an illness in that case, but following the normal and sudden drop in estrogen that happens following childbirth. So that kind of hair loss, postpartum hair loss, is also temporary and it will come back, but it can take a year or more for that to happen. So it's really a very important message that we get out there, that it does and can take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So now that your hair has stabilized, have you been given any advice on watching out for hair loss in the future, or has anyone said anything about your iron or ongoing treatment for your iron?
No, unfortunately, I did go to an iron clinic and they wanted me to go to get an ultrasound, like of my cervix, like of my insides, to see what's mm-hmm. going on there. But it's quite expensive and I'm a single mom and I just haven't gone. If it's endometriosis, I don't know. I just go and get my iron checked like every 6 weeks. And then just watch the levels and try and really stay on top of that. So I was really worried, actually, in April of last year, my mom passed away and it was really traumatic and I was quite hysterical for a while. And I thought maybe that was going to be another trigger.
It can be a death in the family, which is really heartbreaking. That actually can be a trigger, you're right. But it wasn't for you. It wasn't for you, probably because you were working on your iron at the time.
Yes, I went home to Canada for her funeral or celebration of life in June. And my hair, I felt like it was really stressful, though. I hadn't been home in 5 years. And it was just a stressful, stressful time. And then my hair started to fall out again, just at a normal rate. But I was really aware, I'm always looking at how much hair comes out in the shower. Like I ball it up and watch for I obsess about it probably too much.
Well, actually, you do know that, and I mention this because I think it's really important, the stress of hair loss can exacerbate hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some studies. So I think that this sort of problem that we have, this sort of vicious circle that we feel like, because we don't want to lose hair again, we don't want to go back there. And so there's always this worry that it will happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And as easy as it is for me to say, don't worry about it. Of course we do. and you will. But it probably won't happen again while you've got such a good handle on your iron. I mean, you know, nobody can predict the future, but you seem to be doing the best thing by your body in having your iron checked so regularly. So you're not going to overdose on it, which of course is another problem. And you're doing the right thing. You know, you're having it checked, you're staying on top of it.
Because when I got back from Canada, I got my iron checked again, and it was below 30. It was 29, so just like in the critical, like where it goes into the red. And my doctor agreed again for me to be allowed to have the iron infusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another one on July, so like 7 months apart, and I've been feeling really tired again. So I went and got my iron checked again. But it's at 128. So I was surprised that I thought that it was going to be, because it's been 7 months and the last time was 7 months between and then it was 30. But it's, it's high. So I was so happy today. It was just today, actually, that I got the results.
Great.
And now I feel better. Now I'm like, I'm just shedding. It's summertime.
It's really funny you should say that. I think a lot of people who are aware of hair loss because of something like a TE also then become more aware of the seasonal shedding, which many of us have. In fact, probably most people do, but because a lot of people have a lot of hair and they don't really think about it and they've never had a hair loss episode, so they're not really focused on it. But if you have had a hair loss episode and then you realize that actually, and I realize this with me, sort of about once a year, I do actually lose more hair than at any other time. So seasonal shedding is very much a part of my life and it sounds like it's also a part of yours.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think you have an amazing story and it's been lovely to be able to give women, other women out there who are going through something similar or TE or low iron, or even who are currently looking for their underlying cause? I mean, it doesn't have to be iron. It could be something else. But so what would you like to say to other women out there who might be going through something like this, or who may have only just recently discovered that they have some form of hair loss?
That you're not alone. It's very, very common. Hopefully it will get better. Mine got better. And, you know, if you can afford some kind of hair piece that you will make you look, feel better looking in the mirror and going out in public, then I would highly recommend to do that and not just hide at home and cry.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice, actually. I think getting out there and, well, either using something like a wig or a topper or hair fibers, you know, or there's so many things you can do to hide hair loss. You just need to research and find out, or you need to try them all, or you need to at least start with fibers, because at least with hair fibers, it's a low cost option and you can give it a go to give you some more confidence.
They're so good. Just for the shadowing of making your hair look fuller. Cost effective, because I've seen on my TikTok now, people are getting their scalps tattooed or feathered.
How
you do the eyebrows? I guess you can get your scalp feathered now.
Yeah, you can. And lots of people do that. The only problem, well, it's not really a problem, I guess, but it fades. So then you've got to decide what to do down the track. And it's expensive, yeah. But still, it's an option. Well, that's really an amazing story. So thank you for sharing that with us. So thank you.
No worries. Thank you for having me. It was lovely to talk to you.
What a reminder that serious illness can strike at any moment and can have really long-lasting effects. I want to tell you more about illness and hair loss. So that's the topic of today's Did You Know? Okay, so time to talk about how getting sick can affect your hair growth. In the very first episode of this podcast, we did speak about how stress and stressful events in particular can trigger hair loss. And you've just heard a prime example of that from Candace. So let's talk a bit more about how and why illness, including COVID-19, which I'll talk a bit more about later, can cause telogen effluvium, or TE. So just a reminder of what telogen effluvium, or TE, is. That's actually acute and sudden hair loss. We call it TE, and it's associated with lots of illnesses. It happens after many viral infections, including the flu, but also acute illnesses or infections, a trauma, surgery, anything that puts enough stress on your body that can cause a shock to your body, even a bad bout of gastro. And as you've heard with Candace, bacterial infections, which can turn septic, can have that same effect. All of these things put our bodies under stress. So what's actually happening? Well, as you might recall, the hair growth happens in a cycle. There's the growth phase, which is known as the anagen phase. Then there's the resting phase, so the hair stops growing, and that's called the catagen phase. And then there's the shedding phase. So after the hair has rested for a while, it then sheds, and that's the telogen phase. So that's where we get the term telogen effluvium from. So the stressful event shortens the growth phase, the anagen phase, of the hair follicle, and that leads to those hairs being prematurely put into the resting phase. And then once it's rested, a few months later, the hairs are shed. So that's what a TE is. It's hair that has been put into the resting phase, and then it will shed, fall out later. So before I get on to what you should do if you find yourself losing hair after an illness, I just want to quickly touch on COVID. There's been quite a few studies done on COVID-19 and hair loss. And back when I was writing my book in 2021-22, I could see a clear correlation between hair loss and COVID. But there weren't many studies at that time, and of course now there are. So COVID is now quite widely known and accepted as a cause of acute hair loss, or TE. And there are actually a few reasons for that. Firstly, the presence of the disease itself, which causes stress on the body, and high temperatures in particular, and also pulmonary and cardiovascular symptoms, so the effects on the lungs and the heart, and medications. So it can't be ruled out that some of the antivirals or the antibiotics that people were taking or have been prescribed during COVID have contributed to TE. And there are studies being done on that right now. I was reading in a recent study published in the Journal of Medicine and Life that as many as 24% of the people surveyed who had moderate to severe COVID suffered significant hair loss. But interestingly, none of those patients had a prior history of TE or any hair loss, actually. But while the study suggested that more follow-up is needed to discover the pathogenesis or the mechanism that was causing the hair loss, it is thought that there's a connection between the immune response and the effect that that response has on the hair follicles. But as I say, further research is definitely needed. But it did conclude, the study did conclude that with reference to many other studies also on COVID and hair loss, that hair loss can be one of the outcomes in the months after a COVID infection. So if you've been through a bout of illness and you're now experiencing hair loss, what do you do? Well, firstly, knowing that the cause is likely to be the recent illness, and particularly if you've had COVID in the past few months, hopefully that can reduce your stress, because the fact that it is a known post-COVID symptom and that it will resolve can help to reduce the stress and the worry. A common cry I hear is women thinking that they'll go bald. Many women report losing around half their hair, and of course, that's scary. And if you are in that position, please know you won't go totally bald if you have TE. It will eventually stop and hair will grow back. If you're someone who hasn't recovered from TE following COVID or following a severe illness, then there are a couple of things you can do. First of all, look for some other underlying health issues. Go and see a doctor. That's really the first thing you should do. But also maybe look at working on your stress. Stress is a major factor in hair loss, and it is a major factor in continuing hair loss. So meditation's a good idea, breathing exercises, anything that can help you deal with your stress. The other thing you can do is to try covering your hair loss. There's toppers, which is like a half wig, a full wig, if you feel that you need a full wig, or hair fibers like Boost and Blend that can just shake in and cover up visible scalp. These are things you can do that make you feel better about yourself, that make you feel that as you leave the house, you look great and people won't notice. But the final step is to wait. It might take a while for the TE to stop, and it might take a while for your body to recover and for the hair follicles to ramp back up to start to produce hair again. And then that hair needs to grow so that it's visible. So all of that can take time, up to a year. So if you're stressed now and you're in the middle of a TE, please just know that firstly, you won't lose all your hair, you won't go bald, and secondly, it will come back. So there you have it. Just remember that today's advice is general in nature, so make sure you check in with your doctor about your particular circumstances. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. We'll be back again next week, where we'll talk about hair dye. Until then, kindness is beautiful, so wear it every day. Thanks for joining me on the Hair Loss in Women podcast. And a big thank you to the women who share their stories here and with others in their community. One of the hardest things about hair loss for women is that we don't talk about it. So if you do want to hear more, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you like what you heard, why not leave a review? Positive reviews will help other women to find this podcast too. You can also find out more in my book, Hair Loss in Women. This podcast has been recorded in Sydney, Australia, and is produced by Pod and Pen Productions.